We need some new prayers. I say new prayers. We need renewed prayers, man, some new prayers. But I want you to turn with me to Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts, the fourth chapter. Praise God. You remember the miracle that happened? I know you do because we've preached on it and you've heard others preach on it so many times. In Acts, the fourth chapter, we're seeing the results of that miracle, not only the day of Pentecost, 3,000 coming to the Lord, but 5,000 men, about 5,000 men, the Bible said in Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 4. And it came to pass on the morrow, I'm in Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 5. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, listen to me, by what power or by what name have you done this? Who gave you the authority? What name did you use and what name has done this? And I wished I could shout it from the housetops like those that penned it, I believe, originally. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined with a good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now let's go down, if you will, verse 15. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? You know, you could well say, what in the world can we do about these men? Is there anything we can do? What shall we do about these men, to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. The thing that I want to bring to our attention is I believe we're in a time when we're going to see notable miracles manifest to all men that men and women cannot deny that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by God's Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by God's Spirit. Notable miracles have been done. I said notable miracles have been done. We celebrated, was it 2 weeks ago or three? Time goes by so quickly. The miracle in that all the Cruz families rejoicing in Mama Cruz. How that God touched her eyes and the doctor said, in all of my practice, this doesn't happen. It has never happened. And they were completely amazed that she could see. And that God worked a miracle in her heart. Because a woman set her heart that I believe God. I believe God. And in our very midst, you see, if that was your miracle, you'd be shouting about it today. If that was your mama's miracle, you'd be shouting about that today. Most of you would. And what I'm saying is, folks, you know, we can say, well, this isn't happening, that isn't happening. Does everybody I pray for get healed? I wish they did. But, you know, I'm celebrating what's happening. I'm celebrating the miracle-working power of God. We serve a miraculous God. I said, we serve a miraculous God. Hallelujah. I said, we serve a miraculous God. That's a notable miracle. That's a notable miracle, a miracle seen that cannot be denied. That's not just, oh, you're feeling better. Oh, you thought you had a headache. And if it's your headache, it's the most important headache in the world. But I'm talking about notable miracles. Folks, we need to get our antennas up to believe God for notable miracles in us, in our families, in our children, our grandchildren, our church. It's time for notable miracles. We celebrated in Canada. In fact, actually it happened after I got home, but in celebrating their 30th anniversary there, Pastor Johnson called me the other day and we talked about it. We believe God for it. Let me tell you about a miracle. There's a church in Canada that there's no other church that this has happened to in Christian education. Now, if you're Catholic, it's a shoe-in. I mean, Catholic schools are subsidized up in Canada. I mean, that's just an assumption. But this church, to my knowledge, is the first church with a Christian school that has now received help from the government, and the check is not only in the mail, the check is in the bank that covers every one of those students. And of course, here in America, people pay taxes and then we have to charge tuition, and so they're going to be able to lower tuition. But, you know, it just takes money to run a school. I mean, that's a fact of life I don't like, but that's the way it is. But, you know, that church has been faithful in Canada for 30 years in their school. And the check, and it's a sizable check that came through. And they worked to help, and the right people. Canada's more conservative than we are at this point. I never thought I'd see that day. Canada is more conservative than we are at this point. And they have people in office that believe in God, and in the provincial and then in the international. It's amazing what God is doing there. And I thank God for every school that's helped, but especially one that we've had a part in and we've sown into for 30 years. Praise God, into that church. And we were there to celebrate their graduation time. Do you understand that if we got a very sizable check in the mail that Sue Tidwell would probably run around this auditorium, and Fran Firm would be right behind her, and Glenn Tidwell would probably be leading the pack. Do you realize what a miracle of God that is when the government, and listen to the kicker, listen to this, they don't have to change one thing about their curriculum. The government cannot tell them you have to leave out the name of Jesus. They're not going to touch the curriculum. They're not going to touch chapels. They're not going to touch the name of Jesus. They're going to let them. They say the product speaks for itself. The product speaks for itself. That's a notable miracle. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we need miracles in more areas than one. This is a school miracle. And I'm believing, you know, it wouldn't surprise me today. We've graduated a lot of students that have gone on and done very, very, very well. And I believe there's going to be a payback day for Christian education. Praise God. I prophesy it. I speak it. I speak it in the name of Jesus. Help coming from unusual sources to help a school that's over 33 years into Christian education. Praise God. Praise God. Praise be unto God. Now we had another notable miracle here the other day. I'm celebrating notable miracles, folks. Notable miracles. Where Tony, where are you? Tony, and come here. If you want to bring Matthew with you, you can. Where is Brother Tony? You the only guy back? No, okay, I can see now. I want you to come in. There's another notable miracle that has happened. And God has another miracle for every one of you. You say, you trying to encourage us? Oh, yeah. You read me real quickly. I'm believing God for notable miracles. Not what we thought, maybe so, maybe no. I mean something so definite. When the man who's been at Gate Beautiful for all of these years, he's about 40 years old, and since he was old enough to beg, he's been at Gate Beautiful, and now the man isn't there anymore. He's going into the temple at the hour of prayer to pray with them and worship with them. It's time to celebrate. Can't you see Peter and John and that man at Gate Beautiful bouncing into the house of God? So Tony, what, you called me and gave me the information in Canada, but tell us what's God done for you, man, and for your family.
Well, many of you know my wife, Miriam, and I back here. We have a couple children, a few children. Okay, we've got 7 children. Let's get it out there. And when Miriam was with child and Matthew was to come, that we were going through all the normal sonogram things that you do during a pregnancy, and they discovered that they saw some issues with the baby still in the womb. They were kidney issues. And in particular, the left kidney just showed up. It was a mess. It just looked like a mess. Something obviously was wrong. So as soon as Matthew was born, they rushed him right off and did some sonogram testing on him directly and discovered that the left kidney is this big fancy word they call multicystic dysplastic kidney, which basically means, I think Mark's got a picture of one like that. Go ahead and show that, Mark. That's not what a kidney's supposed to look like. This is basically means that the kidney is divided into sections, not formed properly, and is covered with cysts. And it doesn't work. So we went on along because, thank God, God gives you 2 kidneys. That's a good thing. So he had a right kidney and everything was okay, but we continued to watch that left one, and they said that there was a possibility that the body would just, you know, take care of it. We may not need surgery and all that. And, you know, years went by and we continued to watch it. And, you know, nothing happened. No change happened. The body did not take care of that kidney. And last year, when Matthew was 10, we went ahead and made the decision to have it surgically removed because if it remained there much longer, they said that it was it could become carcinogenic, and we didn't want to go there. So he did, in fact, have his left kidney removed. But that's not the end of the story, because all this time, for all these years that Matthew was growing up and doing all the normal things that a boy does, what we didn't say much about, isn't he cute? Look at that guy. Funny hair, but he's cute. So all those years, what we didn't say was that there were also some issues with the right kidney. And years ago, as they did the annual sonograms and checkups to see how the left one was doing, they noticed that there were some cysts also growing on the right kidney. Well, that's not good. That's not good at all. And each year, each time they did a sonogram, they continued to watch that, and they did increase in size. And I talked to the surgeon about this and his doctors. And, you know, this could potentially become a very bad situation because now you've only got one kidney working, and it's got cysts on it. So, you know, as a parent, your mind can travel, and you have to try to keep it in check, because you can see where things could go. And obviously it was a great concern, more to me than Miriam, because Miriam is very, she just has a faith. It's just, she just believes it's going to be taken care of. It's a little harder for me. Sorry, it is. So as we went along, we went ahead and had the surgery to remove the left kidney last year. And right before that surgery, they did another set of sonograms, which again showed the bad one that they were about to remove and also showed the cysts on the right kidney. Again, we've looked at this for 10 years. 10 years of sonograms. Well, the other day, we went back to the surgeon because it was time for the 1 year after the surgery checkup. And we first went on a Friday morning and had sonograms done so that the doctor would have something to look at. And we went in and did that. It was just me and Matthew sitting in the room there, you know, and they're doing the sonogram. And one thing I noticed is they really took care of the left side that he had had the surgery on pretty quickly. They did the sonogram, and it, you know, it showed you can't tell exactly what all it's showing, but it shows some stuff, and it looked like they got through with that side pretty quickly. Then they moved to the right side to continue looking at that, and it just took a long time. They looked and looked. I don't even know what all they were looking at. They measured, and they just took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures of that right kidney. And I, in my mind, lack of faith in me, I'm thinking, man, something must be horribly wrong for them to look at it this long. So then on Monday, the following Monday, we go into the surgeon so he can interpret what was seen. And we went into that visit, and he said, you know, I've looked at the sonogram and in detail, and it looks like this whole surgery stuff, all this has healed up fine. I don't see any problems in there. He had actually done some other minor surgery things at the same time. Everything looks like it's healed up fine. He said, I think you're good to go. And it was like he was just ending the doctor visit right then. And I kind of spoke up and said, now hang on a second. A year ago, you told me to remind you at this doctor visit, a year after the surgery, that we have to discuss the right kidney, the cysts, and what's up there. We've got to have a direction and a plan. And he said, yeah, there aren't any cysts on the kidney. There aren't any cysts on the right kidney. And I said, being the incredible man of faith that I am, I said, what? And he said, yeah, there are no cysts present on the surface of the kidney. And I said, what? What are you saying? What are you saying? And he said, well, they were there. We know they were there. The sonogram showed they were there, but they're not there now. They're not there now. He said, the surface of the kidney is clean. There are no cysts present on the surface of the kidney. And I said, can you explain that? And he said, you know, I really can't. He says, I don't know. I cannot explain that. Now, I hindsight is 20/20, and I wish, I was in the mode of getting on my knees and leading the surgeon to the Lord and all. But none of those things took place that day. They may still come, but I was, I was crying. Matthew was crying because Matthew's right there in the room with me, sitting beside me, hearing this. And Matthew knew enough about this. I mean, we didn't go into absolute detail on everything with Matthew over the years for obvious reasons, but he knew enough to know that it was potential that there could be more surgeries, at least more surgeries. So when Matthew realized what that doctor was saying, that surgeon, this is the man who had performed the surgery on him a year ago. This is the guy who was there. He did the stuff. This is not an associate. This is the guy. And he said, they're not there. They're not present. They're not present. Which, and on top of that, he said, because of the hazard of the cysts that were, that's a great word right now, they were, but they're not now. Because they were there, we were already planning annual visits for years to come. Years, sonograms, interpretation, sonogram, interpretation. And so this day he said, I don't need to see you again. You don't need to even come back. He says, we've already had our last visit. I don't need to see you anymore about this. He said, you're free to go live your life. I don't need to see you again. In fact, he said, the only time I need to see you is if we happen to run each other into each other at dinner. Totally done. A notable miracle. So back to Acts 4:16.
Yes.
So you could see that there was a notable miracle.
Undeniable.
It took place. It actually took place. Everybody saw it, and it could not be denied. Could not be denied. There's no denying it. There are 10 years of sonogram pictures that show the cysts. And then there's the sonogram just the other day that shows no cysts. Clear. Clean. So, now I've got to tell you one more thing. Because there's something that happened along the way that is so neat. Somewhere along the way, years ago, before the surgery to remove the kidney, I was driving right here north on 35, and the Lord just reminded me of a scripture. It's in Mark, where Jesus is in the synagogue, and there is a man there with a withered hand. And so, you know, they were going to watch him and see how's Jesus going to handle this one. And he tells the guy to stretch forth your hand. And the Bible says, the King James Version says, when he stretched forth his hand, it was restored whole as the other.
Whoa.
Now, when I saw that, I knew for me that was the scripture I was going to stand on for his kidney. But now this is before that one was removed, okay? Keep in mind. So I knew that was my scripture, my promise to stand on. So I started praying that and speaking that. But the whole time I was praying that, I really didn't feel totally comfortable about it because, this was my thinking, I'm praying that his left kidney, the one that's divided into sections, will be restored whole as the other, but I knew that the other wasn't whole. It had cysts on it. So the other day was the first time, Pastor, that I feel like I got a total release to pray that scripture because now I can... Now, there's no kidney that's there, but it doesn't matter because I've just picked right back up and said, okay, now that scripture is more applicable, the promise is more applicable to me and to Matthew than ever before. So now we pray for that left side where they took out a kidney that they say there's not one there. Now I pray that that side be restored whole as the other because the other is whole. Every bit, I'm telling you, we wouldn't have, and it's not us, it's all Jesus, but I mean, we wouldn't have even known to have the faith to say the things that we said about this if it wasn't from the teachings we get right here. There's no way. I mean, I've been through the Bible college here. I've grown up here. It's right here. I mean, I'm 28 years right here. So... I mean, we've seen miracles over the years. That's not the only miracle, but we've seen miracles. But, man, when this stuff gets ingrained in your heart and the Word is real, you have to understand, God's Word will not return void. It will accomplish the thing that it was sent to accomplish. Everything else can fade away. Everything else can wither. Everything. It doesn't matter. But the Word of God stands forever. It will not change. It will not falter. And I tell you, this is real hope. If you need a miracle or you're after a miracle or you've been praying for a miracle, this is real hope because here's something we talked about the other day. This miracle did not take place in a month or 2 months or a year or 3 years or 5 years or 8 years. This was an ongoing process. But then it was like we prayed, we believed, we did everything we knew to do. You believed with us. We agreed. We did all these things that the Scripture says are correct to do. And then we just tried to remain patient and stand in faith. But there was a day. There was nothing. It didn't seem like anything. But there was no change, no change, no change. All change. Just all change. So we saw it happen, Pastor. Hallelujah.
You know, this is, give God a good hand clap there. I just want to extend this challenge. And this is what a pastor over the year, and I am a long-term pastor. You can either grow stronger in this house. You came in from Florida. Your parents came out of a rough situation. You were an only child. Now you have seven of your own, of course, and a wonderful marriage and wonderful children. But you've come into this house. You've heard what a lot of people have heard. You've gone to Bible college. You've heard what a lot of people have heard. You've seen, you've experienced. You've seen the good, the better, the best, the ugly, the bad. You've seen that. But you have chosen to make right decisions. See, you've chosen to make right decisions. And you know, you can either grow strong in a house, you can backslide in this church. You know, I've had to face some people. There's some people that have backslidden just coming to church over the years because they sat there and virtually didn't hear a word that was spoken, or they stopped hearing and turned their spiritual hearing aid off. Folks, I'm telling you, there's life in the house. There's healing in the house. There's deliverance in the house. There's growing strong in the house. There's rising above whatever the stuff is that you're facing. We talked about things last Sunday, about the things that have happened to me. But Tony, I appreciate you letting God be real in your heart. Amen. You came and your life, God sent you here from Florida. Yeah. But the thing that I salute as a pastor, you can grow strong in this house. You can endure in this house. You can keep a good attitude and a good spirit and overlook the problems and the negatives and the craziness of other folks. I mean, you can or you can't. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what we've been teaching around here for a long time. Praise God. You got to make it somewhere. I mean, if you're a believer, you need to make it somewhere. You need a house. And you've got a lot of investment. You have a lot of investment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Let's give one more hand clap of praise unto God.
Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, you're welcome, Tony. Thank you for sharing. This is a service in progress this morning. I said, this is a service. This is not normally the way I do or kind of the pace of whatever, but whatever God has, it's the best. John Hall, I want you to come and I want you to sing. I've got another miracle I want to share here in about half, just when you get through there. Amen. Praise be unto God. Amen. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for the miracle working power of God. I mean, don't get your eyes on what is, what isn't, who is, who isn't. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Celebrate what's right in the house. Celebrate what God's doing in the house. Celebrate what your eyes have seen over a period of time. Not perfect, but as Mr. Reagan said, not bad, not bad at all. Praise God. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. John Hall, you ready? All right.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Come on up here.
Always ready. Just let me see this. And this is an unusual day, isn't it? It's a wonderful day. Tony, you have inspired us. We cannot help but speak of those things that we have seen and heard. The other night on Wednesday night, Charlie gave the invitation a week ago Wednesday night, and our granddaughter, Judy's 13-year-old, we brought a car full and took them down to Vacation Bible School, and we had one with. When Charlie gave the invitation, our 13-year-old came. The anointing is on this church. Paul said, these things do not move me. I'm not moved by all this. The stuff that's trying to pull me away, pull me down, but I've drawn a line in the sand and I am going to be faithful. and position myself to receive everything that God has planned to drop in my life. If the anointing releases healing, blessing, freedom, deliverance, how many know it does? The anointing is the release of the power of God. We are carriers of the anointing. And wherever we show up, God is able to do something special. Well, if we are the carriers of the anointing of the Holy Spirit dwells within us, how many know we are in a position to release something wonderful? Wherever, armed and dangerous, it's like a Holy Ghost bazooka ready to go off, Charlie. Just show me, turn me on, brother. But wherever we show up, we are carriers of His presence, carriers of His anointing, and it can happen. Healing, blessing, freedom, deliverance. The anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke of bondage. The anointing of the Lord sets the captives free. The anointing of the Lord brings rivers to your desert. That anointing is raining on me. That anointing is raining on me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's not by eloquence or talent that God's work is done. Not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Receive His word for you this very hour. The anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke of bondage. The anointing of the Lord sets the captives free. The anointing of the Lord brings rivers to your desert. That anointing is raining on me. That anointing is raining on me. The anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke of bondage. The anointing of the Lord sets the captives free. The anointing of the Lord brings rivers to your desert. That anointing is raining on me. That anointing is raining on me. That anointing is raining on me.
For He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, yes, something has happened. And now and he made me. Oh, would you sing it one more time with us as we worship our God, for he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And just read a couple of verses there from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Don't you know, haven't you heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the... It's time to take a new look at God. Who is this God? He's the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. God doesn't faint. He doesn't even get tired. He doesn't need a power nap. Fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He is all wisdom. There is no God like our God. And you know what? He's a giving God. He giveth power to the faint. I said he gives power to the faint. Feel a little faint this morning? He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Thank God. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Are you listening to me? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So you see, right here, and I've been just living in Isaiah 41, which is our founding verse of this entire ministry in 1964. Going into the 41st chapter, verse 6, they helped every... You see, how are we going to make it? We're going to make it through prayer. How are we going to make it? You're not going to make it without prayer. Amen. How are we going to make it? They helped everyone, his neighbor. God called us to help one another, bless one another. Not blast one another, but bless one another. They helped everyone, his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. Turn to the person on your side of you and say, be of good courage. Woo! Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil. See, these are workers working together. They weren't working separate, they were working together. And they said, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. See what God's doing and what God's been doing, you know, there's a good track record. What God's doing is establishing something that will not be moved by man or circumstances or the problems of a nation. And then going further, he said in verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen. There's that strength thing again. I will strengthen thee. I can do all things through Christ. Which you say, Pastor, why are you on this line? Because we've got to get a hold of this, folks, in a stronger way than ever before. It's not going to happen because you got a Bible on the shelf. It's going to happen because you say, Lord, I may be weak, but I reach out for your total strength. I may be a good businessman, but I need the strength of the greatest businessman that ever lived. Fear thou not, I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Do you understand what God said? The great I am, the great I am, no one greater, the true and the living God, the Lord of hosts, one of the strongest terms in the Holy Writ. I will help you. But you got to believe it. Got to believe it. Behold, they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed. Confounded, they that shall be as nothing, and they that strive for thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and not find them, even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Ooh, fear not, right there before your eyes, I will help thee. And you know what God's working for in your life and my life? Behold, verse 15, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument. You're not worn out yet. You're not worn out. Yep. I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument. Nothing worse than a lawnmower that won't cut, than a sickle that will not bring down the harvest. God said, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument for the end time. God is in the process of making us sharp again. New again. Don't let the circumstances of the last few weeks or days or hours get you down. It's time to rejoice and celebrate what we have. Hallelujah. I'll make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. You'll thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them and the wind shall carry. I mean, this is not just symbolic, folks. This is real stuff. We all have mountains in our life, and God said, I'll take care of those mountains. Believe me. I'm your partner. I'm not your adversary. I'm your partner. God's not our adversary. God is our partner. Our Savior, our healer, our helper. You'll fan them and the wind shall carry them. Oh, I'm going to tell you something here in a moment. Shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. I'm in Isaiah chapter 41, concluding verse 16. And the poor and needy, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth them for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I will open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of, I will. When they won't, I will. When it isn't happening, I'll make it happen. When it's not in sight, I will. Get the I will of God in your spirit. He's not the God of I can't. He's the God of I will. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree. I will. That they may see and know and consider and understand together. This is right on this notable miracle thing here now. That the hand of the Lord hath done this. That's what God wants to do in your life and my life and our families and our church. He wants something so wonderful, and it's a miracle in progress, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Praise God. Now here's another notable miracle. I don't know if you read the 4-Star Telegram yesterday, but on the front page, I know it's a paid advertisement, but for it to be there at any price, We're a furniture company. God bless them. If you need a stick of furniture, buy some. It was in yesterday's 4-Star Telegram. It's on the front page. We the people, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalms 33:12. Weir's Furniture Village. And unfortunately, I don't see one in Fort Worth, but there's there through the Metroplex, the Dallas Outlet Store, Plano, South Lake, Farmers Branch. But the thing that impressed me in the 4-Star Telegram, you know we're the longest paid advertiser in the 4-Star Telegram? This church right here. We started, you'd laugh if you saw the little simple advertisement we put in back years ago when we started in 1964. But on the front page, thank God, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's a notable miracle. This is a notable miracle. No matter what the price or the cost was. Oh, thank God. We're talking about prayer. Now, I got another one for you. Thank God. Wednesday, we were getting ready to do radio up in the radio room. And I said, wait a minute, Tony, I've got a call. So I talked to Andrew Womack, and I also talked to Greg Moore. And Andrew Womack's one of the most positive, word-oriented guys I know. And he said, Pastor Bob, he said, it's really bad here. It is bad. They had evacuated their ministry headquarters. 30,000 were evacuated in Colorado Springs alone. And it goes right on up the canyons there into Woodland Park and that area. That may not be the worst, but it's up there. And then I called Greg Moore, and he said, Pastor, he said, seemed like you always call me at the right time. I said, what's the deal? He said, my wife and I've got our keys in our hand to our two cars. They're getting ready to evacuate us between Woodland Park and Dexter up there. And I said, what's the deal? He said, 3 miles down the road. I'm looking out the window. I can see 3 miles down the road, there's a forest fire coming our way. 3 miles. Do you realize how quick a forest fire can move when the wind's blowing that fire? There's been devastation in Colorado. There's been it's beauty, but that's the downside of the beauty of course, of high country. And I prayed with him. I mean, my heart went out. When I got through, I said, I can't make radio for a while. I tell you, we had a time of intercession about 30 minutes, some of the deepest intercession I felt in my heart in a long time. It was just even to groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, we went home, changed, came back, and had church Wednesday night. And then after church, I called. I said, Brother Greg, what's the deal? He said, oh, well, we're getting ready to go to sleep in our house. I said, wait a minute. He said, Pastor, after we prayed on the phone, that wind, you see, they can't dump water from the plains when the wind's blowing wrong. They can't run those bulldozers through to make the backfire zones and all the things they do. Said, when you pray, I was watching the flames. It was he said it was like a giant fire extinguisher just said, whoosh, and the winds turned and subsided. And the bulldozers could come in, and the helicopters and the water tankers could come and do what they do in that type of situation. And something inside of me leaped because, oh, thank God. Sunday night when we got through praying in this auditorium. I know it's a little bit of everything this morning. I realize that. But it's okay. Sunday night when we got through praying in this auditorium, the Spirit of God spoke to me on the first pew and said, your prayers tonight have made a difference. I'm talking about the church prayers. Prayer tonight has made a difference. And church, I want to encourage us. Oh, forget the prayers that you prayed that you thought God didn't hear. Let's celebrate the prayers, all the prayers that you've prayed that God has heard. Let's celebrate the prayers that you've prayed that produce miracles. He said, we've gathered up every valuable we can put in a car. We have our, thank God, he said a lot of people didn't get that privilege. And we've got all the numbers and all, you know, our computer at home and all that. And said, she's going to drive one car and I'm driving another. We're just waiting for that final moment. They come through with bull horns and they say, you know, to evacuate. And I'm here to tell you this morning, thank God, what Satan has declared, you're going to have to evacuate. What Satan has declared that God's not going to do, that you can't get there from here. There's no way to see it come to pass. Get ready. God has a fire extinguisher that's greater than any storm. God has a fire extinguisher. Hallelujah! God has a fire extinguisher. Just let your faith go up. Some of you just need to let it go right now. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Your faith, let it go. Don't get back. Don't get your head back. Father God, in the name of Jesus, let the fire of God, the real fire, not the destructive fire, but let the fire of God burn throughout this room today. Burn up the dross. Burn up the negativisms. Burn up the discouragement. Burn up, we can't get there from here. Burn up what the naysayers say. Burn up, burn up. Oh, burn up, burn up. Oh, Father, oh, thank God. What God is doing, the world can't deny. I said the world can't deny. The world cannot deny. Praise God, the world cannot deny. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That they may see and stand together. That the hand of the Lord hath done this. The Holy One of Israel hath created it. In the name of Jesus, I speak what man cannot do. I speak what man's power cannot create. I release the miracle working power of God in the hearts and lives of God's people. Folks, we can't stop praying in the power tower. We can't stop praying in the power tower. We can't stop. I can't make it happen, but I'm sure encourage it not. You know, we got to keep on praying. We got to keep on believing God. God is honoring the prayers, the things, the basic things that we're doing, everything that we feel that God said to do. And I'll tell you, I don't want to do anything. If God's through with something, God just tell me. And I want to be the first to know that as pastor. But I'm telling you, this morning, there's a power of God in this room. I mean, just like Paul shook that snake. You shake off that snake of discouragement. You shake off that snake of impossibility. You shake off that snake of you can't get there from here. Folks, our God's a miracle-working God. We've seen some great healings, and we've had some gone on be of the Lord. That's not bad going in the presence of Jesus. It's just inconvenient for those left behind. I do understand that. I wonder I want to encourage you, if you've never prayed in the power tower, it's not difficult. But let me put it this way. It's not impossible. It's not hard. In fact, we'll teach you how to, because it's a little different kind of prayer. I mean, we're not only praying for the calls that come in. 24 hours a day, we're praying for our nation. Folks, we got to pray for, don't give up on anything. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on praying for this nation. Speak righteousness over this nation, that it will continue to be in God we trust, will be on our currency. Hallelujah. That we'll see more front pages like this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But I'll tell you, if you've prayed in the power tower in the past, you're praying in the present, or you're interested in going forward, and tomorrow night is 7 p.m., isn't it? Where will that meet? In the parlor? Just go as far down the hall as you can go, or you can drive up where you see the yellow buses there, and it's in that end of the building. Folks, we can't lose our sight of the supernatural. We can't lose our sight that God hears and answers prayer. We can't lose. We haven't had, but someday we will have $1 million gift. I believe more than one. Not just to say that. It's not window dressing. To get the word of God out. To help. Just like that church in Canada. After 30 years of being faithful to Christian education. And only a pastor knows the price you pay for Christian education. Only the pastor. I mean, others know that are close to the operation. But only they know. Oh, the times when you said, is that enough? Is that enough? And that's true of almost every ministry in this church. But oh, thank God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you have prayed, you are praying, or you'd like to be a part of that, I want you to just come forward. We're going to lift our voice to the Lord. Not going to hold you a long time, but just come. This thing's red hot this morning. I think the fire of God's burning in this front area. The fire of God's burning. My Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Folks, somebody's got to pray for this nation. I thank God for all of those that are alerting us to the needs of our nation. I appreciate that and salute that, but we got to go beyond. I'm already convinced. I'm patriotic. You can't make me any more patriotic than I am. I love this nation. There'll be a day we'll probably do something else, but I like that flag up. Praise God. It reminds us. Thank God. Thank God for America. Thank God for America. But folks, we got to do more than just believe. We got to pray and lift our hearts to God. And if there's ever a time to hold steady and hold your oil, stay in your pocket. I mean, what if that quarterback, before every call was given, he's, I'm out of here, and run back down the field, leave the team on the field. Amen? Oh, we got to stay in the pocket. We got to look down the field. We're moving toward the goal, and the prize is high. God is going to move and is moving in our nation. Praise God. I know I'm not getting into anything that's happened this last week, but, you know, just read the handwriting on the wall. We've got to have changes in the right way. We're moving so quickly towards socialism and Europeanism and all of that. But I want you to lift your voice. God said last Sunday night, your prayers tonight have made a difference. Now, he was available. I've invited Brother Dale Gentry to speak tonight. And he's the one that God used to help us get started in the field, in the power tower. And I thank God. Steve, I want to thank God for Steve Arbo. Steve, you, and of course with Barbara too, but Steve, I thank you for being a faithful man in your post of duty. Thank you.